Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Kill List is a true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. Follow Kill List wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old profs. Welcome, it's election day 2024 here in sunny Los Angeles and America. We're all doing
yes.
Everybody's doing it, guys. Hi, Ben, how are you?
I'm feeling very patriotic today. How are you doing?
Good. I'm feeling, you know, I'm sitting in my car, enjoying my day.
That's patriotic.
People sawing stuff.
Patriotic.
America very lowly. My miracle.
Proud to be an American, because at least I know I'm lying.
Yeah. So everybody, hope you're out there doing it. You know, hugs from American to American, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. Just kidding. Please be on the right side of the aisle. The correct side, I should say. People could misinterpret that. I'm just kidding, guys. We love you no matter what. Guess what our politics are? Bravo. I vote for Bravo, for president, okay? Bravo doesn't charge me property taxes. I love them.
Well, I know it's a scary day for a lot of people in America, for a large amount of people, which is why we have the privilege of going to Ibiza today for Below Deck Sailing.
Ibiza, yeah.
Get out of Dodge.
A town, you know, when gay rights might be in question, there's a whole place that celebrates the gay accent. Ibiza, we love you.
Come for the stay for the Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's what we learned on this episode.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, a lot of people are like, why was Gary acting disgusting being cut out of this season? This is so unfair. Gary has probably been disgusting this whole time, and they're just cutting it out to save Bravo's soul and to save Bravo's internet reputation or whatever. Well, guess what? Today we got to see Gary eat a bucket of chicken, and I can assure you, Bravo is not cutting out Gary being disgusting. If I wasn't vegetarian already, I would be after this. That was disgusting.
Yeah. It really, really was. I have to say, like Gary eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, that is like the most blah, blah, blah thing that the chief blah, 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 blah could do.
It was disgusting. That's literally how he eats. He eats like he talks. Delicious. Disgusting. Also, I shouldn't say vegetarian. I should say pescatarian for all the Finding Nemo fans out there who want to stand up for fish. Okay. Get off my jock. So here we are. Oh, gosh. Ben just asked me in the video, is this public?
It is. Hello to the five people watching us.
Well, that's fun. Hi, everybody. Sorry we made this public on accident. But guess what? It's our mistake to you on election day, okay?
You know, it is. And that's why Anne Claire says, oh, my God, a live for Below Deck. It's an accident of live. But you know what, though? Who cares? We've done live shows before.
You know what? We only have to edit these probably every day now because we say something that we were... Now that we have the ability to edit these, we're like, you know what? We should probably edit out about 1 minute and 30 seconds into this podcast. but we're not going to.
We still can.
You know why? It's special. It's a special day. Okay, let's get into it. This is actually a very depressing day of Below Deck Sailing because Emma's just so depressed. And she's depressed because she's kind of, you know, left out of the group. But she's kind of left out of the group because she's a weirdo. I'm like, what are you going to do? Tell somebody to be less of a weirdo? You know? Well, I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't. Well, you know what? She also has to carry with her the burden of never making it in real estate. holding up the martini. She is a weirdo. She's not quite fitting in. But the other thing that she is also not very good at her job. And that's also been a problem.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it sucks when you're like not good at your job and then your boss, you just know your boss is a creep, but you know your boss is like right. And you're like, ugh, like I hate that Gary is like, it's like I'm messing up for this low life, you know, like that. This, like, I don't want to be in a position where like Gary has to be the one to teach me how to do things. I just want him out of my space.
Right. You want to be better than Gary, right? I mean, morals wise, she probably is. So that's something. But also on this show, we love when people are bad at their jobs. It's fun to watch and it's fun to like hate them and be like, you suck at your job. I can't wait till you never work again. I'm going to go write you a review on restaurantworkers.com or whatever you write reviews, serviceworkers.com. But not this one, because you can't even judge her job because she's just not even trying. I think she's just a person. It's like she's not making any attempts at anything. And then she's like, I'm losing the race. You're not walking. You're not running. You're like literally on the bench. Like, what are you crying about? You're not doing anything, you know? So I don't know. It's hard. But then I'm like, but she's depressed. But, you know, I don't know. You still have to pay your bills. You know what I mean?
I don't know. She,
where I land on this.
She, I think she does like to be emo. Like, nothing really works out for me. I'm just crazy Aunt Emma alone on the sea, messing up her life yet again compared to my sister. So, the last
another charm on my sister's fail charm bracelet. She's got a charm for every time I failed, really. High school, the GED lessons, driving class. Literally everything up until now, real estate, still on there. Although I could go back to real estate, but she did buy my bench and put her picture all over it.
I could go back to real estate. I just have to find a martini glass before I do it.
It's kind of odd to know that my sister is beating me so much at life, and she's currently sitting on my face on a park bench.
Emma's sister just shows up and just like chamois something better. Gary's like, that's the way you do it, blah, 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 whoever you are. It's like, oh, there she is again, better than me at everything.
Clink. Well, there's a lot of charms on your bracelet. Just got another one. Thank you.
So we pick up. We're at the club, and Emma is having like a small meltdown, a drunken meltdown, because she had been questioning the two other girls in the car, and they were like, oh, my God. And then the girls had told Daisy, and then Daisy went up to Emma and was like, what did you say to the girls? They're petrified of you. Which they were not, but Daisy exacerbated it. And I was like, petrified? I don't even know what I did. You know what? From here on out, I will not say anything at all. You know, and then her sister shows up and is like, hi, girls. You want to be best friends? They're like, yes, we love you, Emma's sister.
You can get involved in our business whenever you want. Also, Emma wasn't even really caring, I don't think, about, because she was giving Danny shit. Danny, right? The one who's from Brazil. She was giving.
No.
Diana. She was like, so Diana, you guys are into each other, right? You and that guy. And I can totally tell you're into each other. You guys totally have chemistry. She wasn't even really caring about that. She was just trying to say, no one likes me. I'm all alone. Yes. Poor me. Poor Emma. You know, I didn't go to boarding school, but I felt like that's where I was, because I was always sent to a classroom to sleep while everyone else was studying. Poor sleepy Emma never gets anything right. You know, she's so fucking sad. I forgot what I was saying. I'm staring at a palm.
I didn't, you know, my sister got to go to boarding school and had the entire world opened up for her. And then my parents sent me to boarding school, but my boarding school was literally someplace where I had to go and actually cut out boards out of wood. It's not very sad.
They called it, every time someone was assigned a class with me, they started calling it boring school. So I guess I was close. I was already there. Just saved my parents the what do you call it? The tuition.
God, I can't even tell my stories properly anymore.
Really can't.
Her sister's like, I can tell the story. She took away all mommy and poppy's money. Ha! Stupid sister. Like, get another charm bracelet. Better storyteller.
So then she, you know, Daisy starting shit for no reason. Like, Daisy, get a life. Like, I mean, I know that's just such a pat thing to say, but seriously, what are you even doing? She's like, I'm so glad my girls are getting along. Why are you getting along? They hate you. They think you're a weirdo, hunchback. So she gets really upset, And then she's like, I feel really insecure right now. I've already come off a hard charter where I felt like I was doing nothing right. I mean, you weren't doing anything right. Yeah, it wasn't just a feeling. And I don't really know.
Remember when the boat was banging against the boat? Yeah, that was you. Anyway, go on, Bonnie.
Like, and I also don't really know where I belong in this group. Well, now I would suggest stew school, but we see how well they train people to make drinks and shit. So yeah. I just wouldn't even bother with that, you know? Just make an effort.
Yeah, exactly. So then Diana's like, why are we mad? And then goes, let's go, blah, blah, blah. Let's get a bucket of chicken, blah, 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 blah. And Keith is like, I want a bucket. It's like, oh, yes, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'll have the one with all the seasonings and Keith will have the bland one to match his personality, blah, 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 blah.
So, like, Gary, why are you licking the other person's bucket of fried chicken? It's only fun when there's not consent, really, isn't it? So then Keith, they're talking about girls and stuff, and the girls are talking about the boys talking about the girls. So Diana's like, what is happening with Keith? And she's like, I'm all for flirting, I'm all for vibes, but, like, I'll never make the first move. You'll never make the first move. You just hit on the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy, and he's a picture on a sign. What are you talking about?
It's like, I've always liked an older man. And then Keith is like, Danny's cool as fuck, but... And Gary's like, I'm not listening because this chicken is so good. Blah, 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 blah.
So they go back to the yacht and discussion on the hot tub begins. And Daisy's like, I'm going to bed. So then DeVito's like, hello, it's Captain Stilwicky. I think I'm going to the jacuzzi for a bit. You call me? Jacuzzi? Is anybody going to the jacuzzi, Captain? Captain, you are going to the jacuzzi, no? You can blow dry my hair. Come, Captain. He's like, no, thanks.
Yeah, 100% not. So then there are some of them are going up there. And so Danny and Keith are sort of snuggling up. And Danny's like, it's like, Keith, you want to set up those sun lounges and everything? So they're getting cozy and everything. And she's like, you're going to be fucking trouble, eh? And he's like, well, the truth is, I shy away when people come in really hot. She goes, yeah, but I come in hot all the time. It's like, yeah, it's my way of saying, could you please get off of me right now? Thanks so much.
He's like, you do come in really hot, but I think we've got very good chemistry. We go together like dockers and whitening. Not that well, actually. Can't really think of anything but dockers. I'd love to put on a pair right now. God, I love dockers. She's like, please, you're killing me here. I'm just trying to fuck you.
Could you just try to flirt with something more exciting than dockers? So she says, I've definitely dated a lot of fuckboys, and I have an ex-boyfriend that was dating my best friend, and now they live together, so now I don't speak to either of them, and it's just shit. So maybe I just need, like, a super fuzzy, like, wholesome, you know, shit. Like, but by the time Keith susses this out, I'll probably be an old age home in a wheelchair, being the hottest one in the old age home.
Yeah. So you're doing the old, like, I dated one douchebag, so I'm going to try and date a boring person because they'll treat me better. But you're suffering from the same issue with both men. Disinterest, okay? Go find someone who's interested in you and stop just attacking everybody who passes by, okay? People need to feel special. Like, this girl's just handing out flyers. Comedy show, comedy show, comedy show, comedy show, comedy show. Do you like comedy? Do you like comedy?
She's like at the front of Republic. She's like Grace. She's like, what's her face? Grace.
Grace Lilly.
Grace Lilly being like,
Come
on in, come on in, come on in the Republic. Come on in the Republic.
Yeah. And she's the girl that walks past the comedy person and then is like, oh my God, they totally asked me to a show tonight. We're in love. We're totally in love.
So then we get a really wonderful scene where Davide is buck naked and he's trying to get into his upper bunk, but he's wasted and he can't get into it. And he sort of like stands, he hoists himself up, the butt crack, the pixelation is wider than you can imagine. And then he's up there and he falls off onto Captain Glenn naked.
He bends over full cornhole spread into the camera, which was a lot. And then, yeah, he just falls right on top of Captain Glenn. Glenn's just like, you okay there?
I did it. I did it. I'm okay.
And he keeps going, nearly, nearly. Nearly, like he's like nearly on the bed. He's like, nearly. Oh,
here I go, nearly.
I was like, Glenn. And then in the morning, Glenn's like, yeah, I remember. I think you stepped on me last night. He's like,
oh, it's not my fault.
It is the fault of whoever designed this bed. Also, why are buttholes the way they are? You feel the air on that thing at 3 a.m. There's nothing you can do but fall. Fall on, Captain.
That was not the music. I was trying to think of the Mario music when Mario falls into a pit. Mario, not Mario. Oh my God, Mario. So now it's time for a preference sheet meeting. So Glenn's like, okay, everyone, this is a quick overnight one. We've got Tiffany and Daniel, married couple from Dallas, and she's a real housewife. And it's Dr. Tiffany Moon, who we love, made me instantly, nostalgic for Dallas. I think I'm ready for Dallas to come back. I would like Bravo to bring Dallas back with Tiffany Moon.
What a lovely energy of being fun but not trying too hard, and kind of paying to be on TV but not coming off as desperate. It was interesting to see from a Bravo person.
It was, because she's so wealthy. She's like, she's fine, and she's like wealthy, but she's also like, she has like a major job, so like she really is just like happy. And her husband's like, well, I don't really want to go on this random one night yacht thing, but it'll make Tiffany happy, so I'll just go along for it, why not? Like, that's his vibe.
I like that she only did one night too, because she's like, yeah, I don't need to do that the whole time.
We're gonna spend one night on the diagonal yacht, and then we'll spend the rest of it on a motor yacht.
Yeah,
I can only poop sideways for one night. Okay.
Can I say something? This is tangential but related to Below Decks, as long as I'm talking about people outside the Below Deck franchise and Below Deck. I got so excited the other night because one of my favorite cookbook authors and food writers is Carla Lolly Music. I think I may have mentioned her before. And I was watching one of her cooking videos, and it was like from 2 months ago. And she was like cooking, she was like chopping rosemary. And she goes, you know, a little rosemary goes a long way. Like, for instance, on Below Deck last night, the chef, he just put way too much rosemary into the dinner, and he served it to Gigi Fernandez, and she was not happy. I don't think the chef is going to work out. And I was like, oh my God, I love that Carla Lolly Music is obsessed with Below Deck. It made me so happy that she gave like a mini recap about like Chef Jono and his terrible cooking for Gigi Fernandez. And I can I'm only hoping that she's continuing to watch with Below Deck sailing.
Oh, I love that. I love that Jono just keeps getting dragged no matter what. You know, it's like, you know what? I'm so finally to be away from all, glad to be away from all of that drama. It was like really getting to me. You know, it's hard to be an architect chef. I'm just going to watch some cooking videos.
Like
one of the most positive people on Instagram, just dragging his ass across.
I know. He's like, you know what? I'm going to work on my craft. At least this is a safe space. Watching Carla Lolly Music from Bon Appetit. And she's like, ugh, Jono, what a piece of shit. Am I right? Okay. Anyway, put the chicken cutlet in the pan.
I love the idea of cooking shows always having to be positive. Where's the negative cooking show? I want that. I'm going to do a cooking show where it's just like, hey, everybody, today we're going to make popovers. You're going to need flour, butter, eggs, sugar, and salt. Okay. Fuck my next door neighbor, by the way. Seriously. What an asshole. I mean, have your dog shit in your own yard, sir. All right, let's sift that flour.
Carla sort of heads to that place. And she's also, I think, in the process of divorcing. So I think some like bitter notes are coming through, which I love. I'm with you. I'm like, why not? Why not have someone that's like, fuck this, you know?
Oh, I just assumed she was really positive. I don't really watch her, but I assume she was positive because her name is Carla Lolly Music.
I know. It seems like she is generally positive. She's also really smart and helpful. But like, she sort of, her vibe is kind of like, well, I mean, this is just like how I do it. You can do it the way you want to do it, but like, you don't have to do it that way because it's stupid. And I'll just show you how to do it the right way instead. And I'm like, yes, Carla.
Yeah, I'm definitely waiting for a chef to be like, okay, this is my recipe. You're going to want to make some changes. And you know what? You should do that. Here's what you shouldn't do. Come on and give me 2 stars for a recipe that you changed and then complain that the recipe isn't correct, you motherfucker. Okay? If you're going to make my recipe and review my recipe, do it the way I said it. Or don't make it. Stop watching my fucking Instagram channel. Okay?
Yeah, she's not at that place. But she's very encouraging because she'll be like, you know what? You can use like cauliflower, but you can also use broccoli, whatever. She's one of those people that's like, you could just use this or this or this or that, which is nice. But then at the same time, she's like, you know, everyone says you got to cut it like that. And honestly, they're stupid. You just cut it like this. And I'm like, she's speaking my language right now, you know? And she watches Below Deck. It's perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Love her.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
So then Cloyce is like, I've met and cooked for a Real Housewife of OC. She was quite outgoing and transparent with her thoughts. Let's just say that. Then she divorced her husband and became a lesbian. So, wacko. Bronwyn, you got your path to Bravo was Bronwyn. I mean, there's always some odd path, right, that they take to get to Bravo. Like, we just found out that somebody else has been on Say Yes to the Dress, that fucking show, Say Yes to the Dress. A million people have been.
It was Carla Lolly music.
Oh, it was Katie from OC, Real Housewives of OC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I like Katie, but that is definitely the sign of a thirsty person just doing their best to get onto TV, which I guess is the thing now to reality TV. Like, let's stop thinking it's so real. So anyway, his path was Bronwyn. I wonder how long they've been trying to get him on.
Yeah, I don't know. But we also know that he had to cook a big meal that night because she has 16 children.
Well, she's not crazy necessarily around him all the time, so who knows?
Well, this is true, but...
But it's while she was married.
Yeah.
Well, she still wasn't really around him. let's face it. But, back then... And it also makes sense that she's like, you know what I want? A 17-year-old as a chef. Yeah, that sounds great.
He was 17. She probably found him at that fashion show in the ferry that she went to. Great episode, by the way. The fashion show on the ferry with that lady. Why can't we get that lady back? That lady was a one-hit wonder. She was wonderful.
They should have cast her. Okay, so Glenn's like, will they traveling the world with their friends on 5-star vacations? They're hoping this trip will surpass all the ones they've been on before. They're going to have high standards. They've been all over the place. Surely they'll love this broken down, tilting boat with leaks that can't have a cabinet that closes. It's going to be great.
Oh, the guests would like a professional photographer to capture endless memories before they sit for dinner. Then for dinner, the guests require a Japanese-style dinner. You know, that's what I would like. I'm like, you know what? Let's go to Ibiza and have a Japanese meal on a boat.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe they've probably been in Spain for a few days. So maybe they're like, okay, we need to switch up. So Cloyce is like, yeah, I can do that. And Glenn's like, we need to pull out all the stops. That means no swimming this charter, Cloyce. He's like, okay.
So now it's time to turn the boat over. And Daisy's like, do you want to talk about the charter? And he's like, okay. She's talking to Cloyce. And she's like, well, I think service went really well. And, you know, apart from the cake debacle. So I want you to take this opportunity to be able to show off your skills, because I think you could have talent if you really worked on it.
When do chief stews talk to chefs like this? That's so weird.
I know. That's so Daisy to do that, you know?
He doesn't work for you.
He doesn't. And I was surprised he didn't, like, snap back. But he was like, awesome. That should be pretty good.
That thought.
But he can't snap back because he was just like frolicking around like an 8-year-old in the waves the other day. So he's going to get treated like a little boy, and that's what happens.
Well, we just need you to do better. We're in this together. And he's like, okay.
But also, Daisy's someone you just don't argue with. She's like a tax bill. Like, what are you going to do? It's not going to go away. They're not going to change their mind. It's still going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah. You know? So Gary, then Emma's like rolling up towels in like one of the areas, and Gary walks up to her and he's like, "Hey, what's going on, rolling towels? I don't want you to worry about that. Let's get this boat washed. That shit can be done." She's like, "The one thing I'm good at, rolling towels. I can't even do it. If my sister were here, you would see her sloppy, sloppy rolls. This would be my moment. Of course you take that away from me."
I've just loved rolling towels ever since I learned how to throw them in.
So she's literally quit every job she's ever had. So Gary's like, all right, well, here's what we need to do. You need to watch the cockpit.
I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying. Could you take the chicken out of your mouth? I'm sorry, she is so good. So good.
So then she just sort of like walks away, and he's like, "Ooh, she's dove." She goes, "Oh, sorry, I thought you were finished talking. I mean, to be fair, I didn't even see you because you had so much grease on you, you'd become transparent."
And he's like, "Well, you gotta deal with the tender. We should go deal with that too." And he's telling us, "I'm slowly starting to realize that Inman's work ethic isn't there."
Ding! It's episode 5, babe.
What part of her smoking a cigarette and looking at the horizon while the tender bangs into the boat says she doesn't have a good work ethic?
There is no motivation there, no drive. Moving forward, I guess if I can't lead by example, maybe if she's, I guess I can lead by example, so maybe if she sees me working hard, she's going to be like, okay, if my boss is working hard, then I should be working hard.
Cut to Emma just eating a bucket of fried chicken. She's like, well, I do really respond well to an example.
She starts grabbing the ass of all the camera.
He's like, wait a minute, you're following the wrong example.
But yeah, I don't think that whole like lead by example thing works, because I live in Los Angeles where people lift weights all day and walk around with tight little butts, and I sure don't do it. It doesn't, trust me, it doesn't rub off.
I think that what Emma needs is Gary to say, look, I know it's a lot. I'm coming down on you, but it's only because I know you can do it. And like, I think you're doing a great job. I think she's someone who needs positive re-encouragement, because when she doesn't get it, she starts to spiral. So he just needs to give some of that instead of like, you know what? Next time, instead of rolling towels, could you be shamming the crumb? Thank you. You know, and then she's like,
yeah,
I can't do anything right.
But it's also just a difference in generations. You know what I mean? Because he is so much older, where it's like you didn't have that when he was young. Like when he was learning, there wasn't like a whole like, how do you feel? How do you feel about how you're being taught today? Is there something I could do better in the way that I'm teaching you? You know, he didn't have that kind of sensitivity. So he was just like, you do the job. And then they tell you to do the job and you do it. Where she's like, you're not inspiring me to learn.
Wait, but he's like 37 and she's 34. She's
oh my
lady.
God, really?
Yeah.
Gary's, well, maybe Gary's... the sun damage has made him tougher. I don't know, but good Lord, man. Stay out of the sun, people. Whatever you do, stay out of the sun. Good God. What did he make out with this? He probably tried to go up there and harass the sun.
I'm looking.
He looks like a paper bag that's been wrapped around a bottle of.
No, he's 34. They're the same age. He's 34.
Oh my God! Moisturize. Drink your water. Take naps and stay out of the sun. That's all.
Save that chicken grease and use it to moisturize. Okay, so Danny, Daisy tells
the fried chicken to stem cells. There's your advice for the day. You need some.
Instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken, how about La Roche-Posay? So then
people call you degenerate, but you're literally degenerating right in front of our eyes. It's like, please get some cells back, okay?
By the way, isn't La Roche-Posay like the funniest name for a product?
Isn't that a chocolate? Or no, it's a cheese.
No, La Roche-Posay is like a, I think it's like a soap. If one of the Parker 20 people Posey's who are watching, please chime in. Wait, hold on. La Roche-Posay, I think. I just think it's such a, La Roche-Posay, it just sounds so funny because it's like a regular, it's like a standard, you know, it's like, I went into Ulta like a year ago. I was like, I need, yeah, someone, Anne says it's a skincare brand. I went into Ulta and I was like, I need, I want a soap for my face. And they're like, well, there's La Roche-Posay, that's like $10. Or there's this one that's $26, Origins. So like La Roche-Posay is just like a run of the mill, but it just sounds so fancy. And, but also like cheesy fancy, like it doesn't sound like real fancy. Like La Roche-Posay, like it, I just think it's hilarious. I'm amusing myself with La Roche-Posay right now.
Yeah, well, I'd love that for you. La Roche-Posay.
I'm laughing because people are actually listening to me to have this discussion with myself about La Roche-Posay.
Okay, so let's see. So now we go to Daisy and Danny, because Daisy is telling the girls that Danny's going to be on late. And she's like, I don't want to be a dick, but if these guests turn out to be demanding, it's better for the tip, I would say, keeping Di off service. I mean, she needs to be a little bit more soft and approachable and a bit more bubbly. So, you know, she needs to work on that. You know, I just wish that when she walked by, I should say, hey, you should smile more, toots, and slap her on the ass. I mean, what... Are you just turning into an actual fuck man right in front of our eyes? Like, who says that? Like, she'd be great if she was just cheerier. You know, just gave a little more of a smile.
So, Dr. Tiffany Moon and her guests arrive on the boat. There's a lot of hello, hello. And what I like you said before, she's not all like, oh my God, look at me. Someone who is on The Real Housewives. I'm going to crack a million hilarious jokes and capture, you know, the hearts of America all over again. She's just like, oh, hi. Yeah, I'm a practicing doctor at the moment. And I've been on yachts before. I'm already like a little unimpressed by this. But okay, we can do this. We can play. We can do this. We can pretend.
Let me see. Where are the guests coming? I don't see where the
guests are. It's just in these. It's in these three italicized lines.
Oh, when the radio is 1 hour till guests arrive. Guests arrive. Oh, guests arrive.
Yeah, guests arrive.
Wow. You really got some meat out of that.
Well, because they brought this is like
no, you're right. I just scrolled over it. You know, when things are in italics, I tend to scroll over it because I'm like, not important. That's how I get through. That's how I read so much.
It's the most important. That's why it's italicized. It's like guests arrive.
That's why I always run into like walls and stuff when I'm doing a play, because I just never read the stage directions. They're like, Ronnie, why are you doing this from the eaves? I'm like, sorry, was I supposed to be somewhere? Like the bedroom, interior bedroom, Ronnie.
I'm like, okay, you know what? Ronnie's out of the show. Let's get his understudy on. Okay, someone get La Roche-Posay. Okay, she's on.
It's a French Parker Posey. She's like, what? Like, can you give us a little less attitude, okay?
I do not have to. I'm a French Parker Posey.
Tonight's production of The Sisters Rose and Zweig will feature Carla Lolly music and La Roche-Posay.
So now I'm getting the sails up, and so everyone's taping cabinet shut and stuff. And Glenn's saying boat things, you know. He's like, the wind is shifting and we need someone to pull out a lazy sheet so we can pin the Hamtak to the Cancunk. And then, you know, we can't lose the wind, because if the timing's wrong, the Cancunk's going to go under the ding-ding, and then we're going to lose wind and the sails, and we're all going to die with the mermaids. Back to the mermaids, everybody.
So it's like very exciting, and they're going to do this. They're sailing. The sails go up, and Tiffany Moon's like, cool, we're a little diagonal now. This is great. Okay, well, I guess I see the appeal of not being on a normal yacht. Okay, well, it's a little tilted.
Cool. So what you guys do, you're like a regular boat, but you go tilty, like, that's great.
Wow.
So just this one little area that we sit in here, or?
This is like watching Cameron Westcott trying to drive. It's just sort of... feels sort of strange and dangerous. Okay, cool.
So was there a theme here, or is that guy having a bad day? Are you supposed to be sweaty and smelly and scraggly looking because it's a sailing boat?
Hey, this is my theme, all right? You like to try some fried chicken.
Get your hands off me, please.
Okay, well, this is cool. And so then Glenn's like, well, we're going to attack now. We're going to turn around and get more air. We're going to attack and we're going to have a lot of sailing. It'll be fun. And so they have to do this thing and they need basically whatever it is that they're doing, they need Emma to pull some rope. And Emma's just sitting there with the rope. She like picks it up. She's like, "Ugh, well, it's not budging. Oh, well.
I can't bring any more out at all. Nothing more's coming out. But it's just so much slack. Speaking of, that's what they used to call me. Emma the slacker. Emo Emma, slacker, slacker, give her a whacker. But it never really worked, did it? Still move at the same pace as I did then.
I like, she's like, yeah, there's just no more rope to pull, even though there's a huge amount of slack. I'm like, if there's slack, that means you can pull it. Come on, Emma.
That's how it works, Emma.
It's actually ridiculous. Can you check on Emma? I don't know what's going on up there. What's happening here?
Nothing, really. It just stopped coming out. It was working, and then it wasn't. It was basically like me before my soul was destroyed by nobody wanted to fuck me. And then being told my rope tying wasn't correct.
It's tragic. Meanwhile, her sister is like out there pulling a rope. Like, I think I figured it out, Gary. Would you like me to do the rest of this?
Her sister is standing on top of the sail like, all right, I'm doing this with just holding my t-shirt out. All right, I've got it working. Right, I'll stay while the wimp is here.
The sister's just dangling from a hot air balloon, blowing at the sail. Don't worry, I got it, everyone. You'll be sailing in no time.
She even blows better than me. I mean, it really explains a lot, doesn't it? So Emma's like, Parsifal's the biggest boat I've ever worked on. All the other sailboats I've worked on, they don't have lazy sheets. They don't have hydraulic sails. They don't really even have sails, really. They're normal boats. Well, you know, not boats, really. Buses, more like. You know, buses, I carry drinks from one end to the other end. I was never really hired to do that, but people always did love their diet soda when I gave it to them. Some of them would get offended, but I would say, it's not that I'm saying you look fat. I just only had the money to buy one flavor of soda until they hire me on this bus. Anybody know anybody on planes? That's where I'm really how I got here.
The boats that I worked on, we didn't have sails. We just had a little section that said mobile autos. You put the coffee there and people come in, they get their coffee. Now I think about it, it was a Starbucks, wasn't it? Not a boat. Well, that explains a lot.
And then Gary comes down on his big fucking white horse with his cape flying in the wind. Listen, you know, I get the whole, like, no one wants some man coming in acting like you need to be saved. You're literally not doing it, okay? This is not a situation where Superman is just, you know, saving a kitten that's already in the ground. You're very high up a tree, okay?
Gary's like, well, to be fair, I did come in with my big fucking white horse, but my cape was not flying in the wind because Emma took too long to pull that rope, so my cape was just sitting flaccidly. Come on, hurry up, Emma.
Maybe I'm just a poor little weak girl and I can't do it. And the boys are better than me and I'm just fucking inept. I'm going to prove myself by sitting here and staring at that drain. What are you doing?
I know. They'll see that I'm actually quite talented. I'm going to roll up 6 towels and that was one of them. And I think I'm done for the day.
So now it's time to put the sails away. And everyone's like,
that was it? So that was it. Wow, that was about as long as Real Housewives of Dallas lasted.
Wow, that was really great and very exciting. Wow, and to think that this show is getting bigger ratings than my show ever did. Wow, congratulations. So then
the, going home, huh? Did that one sale say something problematic to that other sale? Because I'll do it.
Just packing her up. Is that a Westcott sale? Okay.
This is how ladies pack. Mm-hmm. We sit on our suitcases, right? Because ladies can't fit everything in their suitcase.
Dumb sails get wind. Smart sails get everything.
I think of stupid Cameron every single time I'm packing and can't close my suitcase. And I'm like, do not sit on it, because I never will forget that scene.
This is how mommy closes her suitcase. Why? Because she's a girl. Mm-hmm.
when we went to Cabo San Lucas on vacation, the food was so good that when we came back, all we've been doing is eating Mexican food. Because food in Mexico, Mexicans make good food.
And then they'd be like, ma'am, what would you like? A hamburger, please. It's not Mexican food. Yes, it is. That's all we ate in Cabo. Wasn't she the one who could only have like a hamburger without ketchup or something? Like every time they went to some, whatever that show. Okay.
No, the only thing I would eat was Sparkle Dog. All of Cameron's greatest hits.
It didn't taste great, but I really loved the once a month poo-poo would come out. It would be glittery.
She's a terrible person, but God, she made me laugh. So she really did.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So anyway, now Tiffany and the gang, they all want to take photos. So Daisy's like, girls, they're going to be doing 9 photos. They're going to go just before 9 to do some photos somewhere. So Danny, I'm going to send you. Who's doing service tonight? So then Danny raises her hand. And Diana wants to do service, but she did that thing at the beginning of the season where she says, I do housekeeping. So she's stuck in housekeeping. Also, she kind of sucks at service too, which is what happened last episode. So Diana's mad. She's like, stupid.
She does kind of suck at it. But that's so funny, and I need her to be on service all the time now. Because when she's like, well, finally, I'm out of poop land, I can now do service. And then we find out why she's not doing service. She's like, you did not like my drink? Please die in fire, motherfucker.
So the guests are doing their photo shoot, and they go up to this like little plateau or some whatever. They're doing photos, and Danny and Keith are standing by, and Danny's like, it's gonna be us in 10 years, this is really romantic. And he's like, and she like sort of taps him or nudges him or something, does like a little thing, and he's like, what was that for? She goes, it's just a little nudge. No flirting in front of the guests. Hey, what? No flirting? What are you talking about? No flirting in front of the guests. Be professional. She's like, not sure I understand that. What's that word again? Professional?
It's like, you're no fun. I'm professional. I mean, what they hear under my breath doesn't matter. And he's like, Danny has no appreciation of work versus play. What does she expect is going to happen right now? We start making out here, rolling on the ground? Yeah. That's what she's expecting.
That is what I wish she's expecting. I mean, I'll bet she walks in and makes out with a Walmart greeter every single time she goes in there. You know, hey, how are you doing? I knew you were into me. Get the fuck over here, little one.
I wish they had done that. I would have liked Tiffany to be disgusted by it. Like, oh my God, these like stews, they're like literally rolling around on the ground right now. Like, are we even? She's like, I'm going to do a TikTok.
So Danny's like, it feels like we're dating during the Victorian era. Whenever he's in uniform, that work belt that he wears is basically his chastity belt. Boner killer.
I think you're quite a boner killer yourself. You're too much.
I know.
Too much.
Okay, settle down, Lady Chatterley. Okay, you guys are working. Like, he's right. Like, this is not the time to flirt, you know? And I'm sure he would maybe, like, I don't know. I just think that, like, well, he is very dull. So it's also sad that you're trying so hard to flirt with this very dull man, but you're also at work.
But he's just a dull person. Like, you, to be with this guy, she's basically just like, you're the only one right now, so I'm just going to make your life hell. But she's not going to give this guy the time of day in real life. And I think he knows that.
No.
But she's taking it personally, but she's the one being mean. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. Like, she's not being mean right now, but I think her plan is to fuck him and then leave him. And she knows that's going to hurt his feelings, and she doesn't care. She's like future mean just because she needs attention and she's desperate. It's sad. It's just sad. Like, the whole beating someone over the head over and over, like needing attention this bad, it's a boner killer, okay? So then Koyce is like, well, I'm not an experienced Japanese chef, but sophomore year of high school, I was like, oh.
Which was last year.
Broadway.
Currently in.
Bronwyn took me to a Panda Express and said, this is not how we do things.
Bronwyn then threw 5 chopsticks at my head and slammed my face into a rice cooker. So that's really my experience with Japanese cuisine, but I think I got it. I think I got it.
I'll never forget leaving that mall with, she'd bought a shirt that says, I'm with stupid, that pointed over to me. Still an egg on my face, literally. Yeah, so I'm ready to do a 10-courser. Let's get to it.
So then they're heading back from the photo shoot, And now we get dinner. They're serving all sorts of stuff: prawns, avocado rolls, tempura, carrots, courgettes, eggplants, all sorts of actually very delicious looking stuff. And one guy wants an espresso martini. The guy named Jerry.
I have to say something. They say said because he serves this big kind of whole fish thing that actually looks really good. And the guy goes, "Is this Chilean sea bass?" And he goes, "No, it's Mediterranean sea bass." Is that, did that ping you? I mean, I'm laughing because honestly, I should know this. We've actually gotten to multiple Chilean sea bass discussions on this show over the years because I used to be a waiter. And so I was like, "You're allowed to still have Chilean sea bass." And you're like, "No, you're not." And that was like a big, huge thing back in the day. I remember, when Chilean sea bass was canceled for a while and I didn't know and I tried to stand up for it. And then it came
2020
back.
2020 was a rough year. Yeah.
I mean, even fish get to come back from being canceled. That's not amazing. They're even like, well, we forgave the fish now. Chilean sea bass now has its own show on Bravo, everybody. Okay.
Well, it gets, wait, listen to this. I'm so glad you brought this up because, okay. So I did not find anything that said Mediterranean sea bass, but what I did find, there is a Wikipedia page for a European sea bass. Blah, 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 blah. In North America, it is widely known by one of its Italian names, Branzino. So look at this, the sea bass. So like, so Chilean sea bass is an upgrade from Patagonian toothfish. But we are like, but we don't want to have a European sea bass. We want to have it be Branzino. Wow.
Well, Chilean isn't from, Chilean sea bass is not even sea bass at all. It's really
Patagonian toothfish.
Patagonian toothfish and comes from South American waters.
What I'm saying is it's so funny that like with one fish, we're like, we need to upgrade it by calling it a sea bass. With another fish, we're like, sea bass isn't good enough. We need to make it Branzino.
Yeah. We need to specify. It's like there was already another sea bass in SAG. So they had to change their name.
It's like Vanessa Williams and Vanessa L. Williams. Branzino is like, but I had a song called Save the Best for Last. It was a huge hit. Sorry, you're going to have to be Vanessa L.
Sorry, you literally should have gotten here first. You know what I mean? So then Diana is now making an espresso martini and Daisy's like, "Is that for Jerry? How did you make that?" And she's like, "I made a coffee, vodka, and this, whatever this is." And she goes, "Okay, grand. Nothing can go wrong." So she delivers it and Jerry, the guest, is like, "Excuse me, this is bad luck, ma'am." And she's like, "Oh, it's missing something? Oh, it's missing one bean, huh?" And they're like, "Ooh." And he goes, "Yeah, I love health and wealth, but I need the happiness. I need to have three beans on top of my right, guys."
I did not know this was a thing. And I hate this because now it's going to be a thing if it wasn't a thing because it's now on a national platform. But since when does the number of beans, like, okay, espresso martinis are brand new. I'm sorry. Like they, like, especially the modern version of them, like they first showed up in like what, 2000? And then, like, the modern version.
That new. It's already graduated from fucking high school. It's had babies. It's married.
But, like, the
living down the street trying to vote on your HOA bullshit.
But those espresso martinis in 2000 were, like, all, like, just nothing but, like, Kahlua and stuff. But, like, this type of like, espresso martini has been around with us for, like, 6 or 7 years. Either way, like, I think when you talk about things having, like, oh, a tradition of, like, there must be three beans on it, otherwise it's bad luck, I feel like you need to have, like, 200 years under your belt before you're talking about those sort of traditions. You're just from the 2000s. You don't have a good luck, bad luck situation yet.
Yeah, but that's why they have to do it. You know, you have to make tradition. Tradition takes a long time. So it's three beans. You know, all it takes is one moody Brazilian Russian lady
or Portuguese
to just fuck up your entire your tradition. You know, you put the three beans on and it makes it worse because she's like, "Well, I know that they normally have three beans, but I've also seen two beans. I've seen one bean. I've seen no bean. Who cares?" It's like, obviously, you know, it's supposed to be three beans. Put the third bean on there. What are you doing? Why do you need to start a fight over beans? Okay. New at service lady, you're going to be back in the laundry. No, she's like, "I'm blazing trail. The Russians would never make me do three. The Russians hate luck."
Okay. Well, guess what? I have an update here, everyone. So This is according to Google AI. The three coffee beans that float on top of an espresso martini are a symbol of health, wealth, and happiness. The tradition comes from the Italian practice of serving Sambuca with three coffee beans on top, which is known as con la mosca or with the fly, which, by the way, can we work on the naming of our traditions? Thank you. The number three is considered to be especially significant in Italian culture. And the custom of placing three beans on a drink is a way to wish well for those sharing it. And the three beans are subtle yet meaningful garnish that adds symbolism and enhances the experience of drinking an espresso martini. When friends, family, or lovers toast with espresso martinis, they are celebrating these three things together. The coffee beans can be eaten if desired.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, for fuck's sake. But the thing is this, that's someone, okay, that's a Sambuca tradition, but like, I don't know, I'm just saying this guy needed to chillax a little bit, you know?
I think he was just kidding. I mean, it turned into such a big deal, but he's like, excuse me, I need my other bean. And then she's like, I'm giving you decaf from now on. And they're like, whoa, what the hell? And so then Daisy's like, Diana, try. Even if they're an asshole, try not to let it get you. Because they didn't, because she goes, no, I was joking. I don't care, to be honest. She goes, but they care. It's about what they think.
Right.
You are in service. All right.
I also love the idea that, like, her reprimand is that she just can take away the caffeine, but the booze can stay. She's like, you know what? I'm cutting you off. No, you can still get wasted. Just no more caffeine. You're too jittery.
Too hyper, yeah. So then Emma and Gary are talking, and Emma's like, it's going to get cold tonight, alone and boring school. And he's like, yeah, I will give it a burn today and put salt on the bed. That's what I'm going to do. She goes, but I'll make sure the holes are done as well. No thank you. No hugs. No celebrations. No rays. Here I am, alone on an island, dying alone in the rain. I'm drowning. I'm drowning.
Gary, one last question, Gary, before I drown to death. When you said put salt on it, did you mean the boat or my wounds? Because both seem to be acceptable.
So then the next drink comes out, and this one's by Danny. And Jerry's like, who made this espresso martini? Get over here. This is the best espresso. Happiness, health, and wealth. Get the fuck over here.
And Diana's like,
and she's like, I know Russians.
She's like, this is why I hold back coffee bean, because I knew you'd play favorites, okay? Oh, Danny is the best. Oh, it's annoying to my ego. Now, that being said, by the way, really, how much effort does it take to pluck out two more coffee beans to go on top of the martini? Let's be honest. As much as I just gave that guy shit, it's like, also, like, you have access to the beans right there. You cannot clasp two more of them. Come on.
Yeah, but this is where I kind of turned against the guy. Because at first I was like, he's just kidding. But now he's just openly like, oh, I'm going to turn them against each other. You know, nothing's better than a maid fight. Am I right, boys? Hey, Danny, you're great. She sucks. Talk it out.
I liked what it was funny when she says, you know what? From now on, I only serve you decaf. And he like got that look on his face. He looked like he just walked through a glass door. Like he thought the door was open and it was actually closed. Oh, wow. He was like caught off guard by that. I thought that was a very clean glass door.
I don't know why I'm laughing so hard at that. It's not like I've walked through glass doors multiple times in my life.
Listen, we've seen it on this show many times. There's I feel like once in a blue moon, we'll see on one of these charters, some lady walks into the glass door that leads to the inside, and she hits her head and goes, Susan, are you okay? She goes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just an idiot.
I do it all the time. I really do. Remember when that bird slammed into my wall in Texas, in my window, and people were like, you have to put the bird film on it. I was like, fuck birds. I'm not putting a special... That might help me from knocking into the into the windows. I'm literally an idiot. I'm like, I hear something out there. Hey, who's out there? Ow! It's a window. Scream around it.
So the guests go to bed, and Danny's like, I actually love them. I love all the male attention that I get, and they give me so many compliments. And Daisy's like, yes. Well, you can go to bed. Be up at 9 a.m. So then Emma, meanwhile, is sitting in the captain's chair, the wheelhouse on anchor watch. And she's like, what I love about yachting is interacting with my team, interacting with the guests. But on night shift, just spending 7 hours with no one. It's not the nicest thing to do when you're feeling a bit shitty about yourself. And then her sister comes on board and is like, I love night shift. I'm quite good at it too. Oh, look, the anchor's dragging everyone. Everyone, the anchor's dragging. Thank you, Emma's sister. You saved the boat. Oh, no problem.
We've got the night shift. Do, do, do. Do, 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 do.
God, she's going to sing on the night shift. Just fucking kill me.
If you want to be on night shift, here's what you do. Keep an eye on the anchor, because you don't want her to get out of place. It's like, oh, God. She's insane.
I believe in night and shift. Even evening.
Oh, God, please make it stop.
It's going to be a long night. All night on the night shift. On the night shift.
Near, far, wherever you are, night shift.
So
don't cry for me, sunlight. The truth is I never left you. I'm just on night shift, watching an anchor. I'll keep the boat safe. You rise in the morning.
You little wanker.
Do, 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 do. Emma's like, I've got it. Let me try. Anchor. Oh, no, Emma.
It's not even got night or shift in it, Emma. Good try, though, sister. I love you. I support you so.
I love the idea of her sister being really good, but also super supportive of Emma.
Like, Emma, you can do it.
Emma, try again. You can do it. Sing a song about an anchor. Take any song and just replace really every word about with night shift and anchor. Okay, okay. How about this? Why don't you do Like a Prayer by Madonna? Okay. Life is anchor. Oh, darling, she's a mixed course.
I didn't even want to be a yachty, Emma. I just showed up on the boat to show you how easy it could be if you just gave it a little positivity. What? Captain? Oh, sure, I'll be captain. Why not? It should be fun.
Wait, you want to name the boat after me? It's no longer the Parsifal 3 or 2. It's now called Emma's Sister is the best. Sure.
Emma's Sister 1. Love it. Emma, after all of this, she's like, no one respects me. No one thinks I'm doing a good job.
She goes to sleep on anchor watch.
False.
Next day, the boat is split in half.
Care.
So then, like an hour before her shift is done, she like wakes up and then she goes and like rinses down the boat. So everything is wet. And so then she goes to sleep. And Keith is walking around. He's like, oh, God. So everything is wet. It's not supposed to be wet. It's supposed to be cleaned already and dried and spick and span. And it's not.
Yeah. And Gary's like, well, I wanted to ask you about what happened with rinsing the boat last night.
Well, I rinsed the boat last night. It just, I mean, it did take. And he's like, oh, really? Because if it happens again, you can pretty much rinse to the aft deck while the other charter guests are up. They're not going to walk on the side deck. So they're going to walk on the sun deck, either to the cockpit or down this way. She's like, I'll bear that in mind last time. Do you know how difficult it was rinsing the desk for what? Half asleep from just woken up. You know, it's nothing more tiring than sleeping. Isn't that ironic?
So now, it's time for the guests to leave. It's just a quick one-night charter. So Tiffany is like, guys, thank you so much for having us. We were blown away by your sideways boat that was sideways for a little bit. And, you know, your professionalism that you aspire to have but didn't quite achieve, that was wonderful. And the level of service that you sort of provided by giving us that quasi-Japanese food and taking us to a little cliff, that was amazing. Danny, you make the best 3-bean espresso martinis. Other girl, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but the next time you offer a decaf martini to my friend, I'm going to throw you overboard. Okay. Good luck getting surgery in my hospital because you're not waking up, bitch.
So they leave. And then Emma calls her sister and she's like, hello, better than you. How are you doing, darling? Good to hear your voice. My sister's definitely one of the best people I'll probably ever know. She's just such a great person to speak to and get advice from. Just every time I talk to her, I just feel miserable, like I'm at the bottom of the pool and it's just filling up, but I won't float along with it. Do you know what I mean? It's just something comforting about that. The stillness.
Well, Emma, it's so great to hear from you. You know, I've got some wonderful news. I actually won the American election. You know, you're not even supposed to be president if you're not born in America. But they were like, you know what, Emma, sister, how about you just run the country? So I won. All those millions of people wrote in my name without even knowing my name. They just said Emma's sister. So anyway, what's going on with you? Oh, you had trouble mopping a floor.
She's like, and she's like, because I always compared to Laura, and I thought not being as clever as her, I'd act up. It would just make life harder for my mom and my dad and my sister. So I couldn't even do that well. Laura's like, you're right, quite busy here. You know, I've got the Russian president on one line. Someone named
someone named Putin says, have you seen my former stew?
He said something like, it was hard to read through the accent, but he said something like, the last stew tried to put three beans on my martini and I had him hanged.
So, yeah, Emma, it's sort of sad with Emma because she's like, yeah, Lauren's always been very clever and I'm always compared to her. And I thought not being like, she's like, I act up because I'm not as clever as my sister. And then I just make my make my parents' life hell. So I'm just like a burden to everyone. I'm like, oh, poor Emma, you're not a burden to us. You're our favorite.
So yeah, you are our favorite, you little depression. You little depression.
You little Zoloft ball. Come on. So Emma's like, it's been quite hard these last few days, Lauren. I just feel like I've messed up a few times and I've just been getting frustrated with myself. What is that noise? That's that infernal racket behind you. Oh, sorry, that's just Beyonce. She's singing freedom, freedom, freedom to me. It's just so great having new friends.
Listen, you're just so harsh on yourself, but remember this. You're never going to be as harsh on yourself as life has always been harsh to you. Do you understand? Life will always win. Look, so all you have to do is wake up in the morning, get out of the bed, say, why am I here? And when you don't get an answer, just cast a vote for me, your sister. Because at the end of the day, if you're crying, at least you could do it at the White House. Well, wherever the vice president lives, in their guest room. Somewhere over there.
By the way, Joe says hi. Joe. Rogan, I got his endorsement also. Beyonce and Joe Rogan, they both came together for me.
Both sides of the aisle. You know, both sides of the aisle were so close to me, they stopped calling them aisles. It's just one large group of people. Which is quite confusing as you enter, because there's no really one way to walk down the center of a room anymore. But you know what? It's what uniting people does.
They got rid of the aisle. It's just like one of those terrible movie theaters where there's just things on the side. So if you have to go to the bathroom, everyone has to stand up. But I said, everyone, before we start this legislation, could you please go to the bathroom beforehand? And they're all following. It's amazing. So tell me, what are you up to? You had a bucket of fried chicken, I hear?
If someone does have an accident or does have a need to go immediately, we just crowd surf them with love all the way to where they need
So
sitting there with grief dripping off of her face, like,
Well, I'm really happy for you. You know, you're just such a good person, Laura. I call you and I stop having bitch fits at people because I start imagining myself in your clothes with your hair and your eyes and your friends, your country now, really. Now, lovely that much. Got to go. Someone's asked me something about the football. I don't know where I've placed it. Surely they'll forgive me. Bye.
So then Glenn's like, okay, everyone, okay, tip meeting, okay, so another charter in the can, okay, deck team, we'll keep it, you know, good job, no one died, you know, the tender didn't bonk into the boat too much this time, so good job with that. And everyone was happy.
Never crashed anything, so that was good. We lost a couple of pieces of cutlery when the drawer flung open. Let's never fix that. It was fun.
You know, Emma, thanks for ruining the sailing. It's the only thing that gets me an erection these days. And I was hoping to get another 30 seconds out of it, but you kind of killed that for me. That's okay, though. You're learning. Okay, so the tip is a pretty good one. It's $25,000, which is $10,000 more than Dr. Contessa gave for a charter that was twice as long. So anyway, congratulations, everyone.
That makes Dr. Contessa over 100% cheaper than Tiffany Moon.
Than Dr. Moon. Of the two Bravo doctors that we've featured, Dr. Contessa is the cheaper one, even though she had a larger party.
I'm humiliated
for Dr. Contessa. That is so shameful. That is embarrassing.
Dr. Contessa, you got your job back. You have a paycheck again.
Yeah, you're back. That's embarrassing.
Come on.
So, but Tiffany, thank you for redeeming Housewives for a while. So then Cloyes is like, money's cool, but it's really the forever memories I'm here for.
I'm kidding. I'm here for the money. Yeah.
So then everyone changes and they're going to go out right now. And they go out to dinner. And Emma is at the end of the table. And she's like, I need water right now. And he's like, are you okay? She's like, no, I'm feeling hot. I need a cigarette. You know what they say when you're feeling ill, have water and a cigarette.
It works. Everybody I know does. When you're sick, you smoke. That's what happens.
So they walk out of the restaurant and Daisy's like, you look really nice. How are you? She's like, well, Gary says to me earlier today, he's like, you didn't rinse that down last night, right? And I was like, I fucking did. And I know I'm oversensitive. And I know like my anxiety does get the better of me, but I feel like I'm becoming a hindrance. An anti-Lauren. It stresses me out.
Wasn't the problem that she didn't dry the decks? I think that was some communication anyway, because the decks were all wet when Keith woke up. And he told Gary all the other docks were wet, right?
Well, that was one of the issues. The other thing was Gary's like, okay, so like when you need to clean something, like here's a chamois, and then you just like clean something, and then she stands there with it, and she's like, but what do I use the chamois on? He's like, the cream right in front of your face. Look, look live, look above.
She's like, God, everyone's so terrible to me all the time. I know I'm oversensitive. I don't want my anxiety getting the better of me, but I feel like I'm just too stressed out. Daisy's like, my advice is to try and let this stuff go over your back. Let me go to the girls and tell them that you think they're ugly cows, and we'll see how they treat you. That should get you. That should refocus you real quick there, girl.
So, Emma's like, I'm all sweaty and hot, and I just need to go back and rest. I'm actually sweating so much, it's disgusting. I live rent-free in my head, which is good, because I can't keep down a job, and it's horrible. So I got this a couple of weeks ago as well.
Unfortunately, my landlord keeps coming by and saying, we don't have stupid here.
Oh, no. I just found out I've been evicted from my own head. Someone has actually bought the plot of land and, oh, it's my sister. My sister has gentrified me out of my own head.
Amazing. She's not even living here. She's actually in the presidential palace. I don't know why she needs this. She's moving the vice president's nanny in here. Well, that's lovely.
Every time I say, what was I thinking? I don't actually know because I've been pushed out of my own head. There's now a blue bottle on the main floor and upstairs is luxury... condos.
And then Daisy, who's a real advertisement for Ibiza, goes, try and drink some water, even though it tastes gross. I just need to go back. I'm sweating. It's disgusting. I've got to leave. Can you just get my things explained to everyone? I'm so sorry, but I had to... No. You're trying to do that. I'm going to go so someone will follow me. But we already know what happens because Daisy just followed you, and you're even worse. Does everybody have to do it so you can we can all wallow with you? No, you're going to go home alone.
I don't think she wants that.
Some tootsie rolls.
I don't think she wants people to follow her. I think this is like she's doing Moody British 30s something, which is like literally I just want to go into a hole and have no one look at me. I'm a monster. Like it's not like the American like, "Oh my god, I am so mad. I'm going to walk." Like, "No, come on." She's just like, "I'm a burden to everyone. I'm just going to crawl into a hole and watch Father Dowling mysteries on DVD." Oh, God. So it's depressing. It got really depressing. An old show on an antiquated format.
So Daisy's like, Emma's most definitely struggling with the workload and being hard on herself because I think she's trying her hardest and she's still not good enough. So she's still a bit in her head and probably feeling a bit lonely, like on an island at the moment. And I can tell you that island's not as good as other islands. I can tell you that it's just her trajectory.
So he goes, is Emma okay? Blah, blah. And Daisy's like, well, I think she's better now. I think she's just like, personally, I'm not a doctor, but I'm always fucking right. And I think I'm going to diagnose her right now. She has shingles! It's like, oh, no. She has heat exhaustion. She's having appendicitis of the brain.
You're using her too much, Gary. You're working her too much. That's a problem. You're a tough boss, Gary. You're so tough.
And Gary's like, well, it's a cutthroat industry, because Daisy said that she has heat exhaustion, which she does not have. She's having like a panic attack, right? So Danny's like,
it's just general exhaustion. Like, I can't.
She's having work stroke. So Danny is like, actually, I feel like it's your fault because the aircon isn't even working. So I guess air conditioning's not working on the boat. So then Danny's like, oh, I'm upset because Keith didn't ask me to be the love of his life and marry him on top of that cliff. And they're like, oh, God, this again.
And Gary's like, Keith, keep up your game, motherfucker. He's like, oh, hey, man, guests come first. And Daisy's like, Keith, if it makes you feel better, if you did that to me, I would have thrown you over the cliff. Ah.
So then they go to a club and Emma's back on the boat. And Keith and Danny are like sitting next to each other. And he's like, how are you doing? And she's like, I just want to dance. And he's like, that's it. Don't you want to talk? Why are you being so cool with me tonight? Like, sir, you're at a club. Okay, like I was on your side about the professionalism, but like you coming to be like, why are you acting this way? It's like,
because you're rebuffing her. He's not rebuffing her. They're at work, and now they're finally at a place where she can flirt with him, and she's not. She's like, fuck off.
So Keith is like, he's like, look, I'll buy you a drink, we can have a chat. So Danny's like, what do you want me to tell you? It feels like you only have fun with me when you decide we're gonna have fun, and I'm constantly flirting, and like when we were off that cliff that together, that it was like no banter, like not even banter, like don't you even know I was like standing in the stadium with like 10,000 men staring at me, and I'm chosen you, so what's going on with that?
I've chosen you. You've literally chosen everybody. What are you talking
also
about?
don't forget you also were like hot to trot for the child at the beach club, so yeah, that like turned off
5 minutes, Gary, so give me a fucking break. So then Daisy's basically, he's like, I don't think that's fair. She's like, well, you can't just sit there and wait for me to expect you to be more comfortable. I'm going to carry on with my life regardless. And he's like, okay. And she's like, I just feel like it's just constantly me initiating, and I'm not going to wait for you to become more and more relaxed. It's just me putting in the effort every time. And he's like, all right. She goes, are we done? He goes, all right, let's go have fun then.
Yeah. So then, and then Gary's being silly, and Daisy's like, there are few people in the world that can make people laugh the way Gary can. And cut to Gary, like, blah, 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 blah. And Chloe's like, yeah, he's funny. She's like, you know, you and Emma and Davide, you know, help clean up that for me is so refreshing, that you guys have been so next level. And it just allows us to be with the guests. It's so refreshing to see. And Keith is like, yeah, cool, I love this. So she's like really happy with the staff right now.
So then Danny and Gary start their flirtatious romance. And she's like, why is everybody talking about work? He's like, oh, it's a fucking boy. It's good being done, sorry. It's too done sexy for me. She says, yeah, you love it, don't you? You love it. So they start their thing. And then Cloyce and Keith are catching up. And Cloyce is like, what's wrong? And he's like, I'm getting weird vibes from Danny. It's almost like she's like, one town by saw the other town bike, and they decided to rack up together. It's basically what's happening. You're over, sucker.
So now they get into taxis, and now Daisy is like, oh, Keith, what's wrong? Tell us. Give us a kiss. And he's like, no, no. It's like, are you mad about Danny? He's like, a little bit. I shouldn't be this sensitive, but she's like, get it through your little head, you know? And then we cut to Danny, and she's talking to Gary, because Danny and Gary are having fun. And she's like, so you think you actually go to the hot tub tonight? He's like, perhaps I will, but there'll be fried chicken, blah, blah.
So Gary's like, oh, you should come on, Gary. Come to the hot tub. You should do it. Hmm? And Gary's like, such a bitch face. Beautiful brains. Dun, dun, dun. And then Daisy's like stroking Keith's hair. He's lying on her, and she's like petting him, stroking his hair. Like, it's all right there. It's all right, boy. And at one point, Cloyce was like, wow, Daisy's really giving me such positive vibes. Give it a minute. Okay.
Yeah. Got her. Yeah. Just put 19 pitas in a basket that's supposed to have 20, and then see her positive vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
Pitas were in the basket.
Trying to then pita magic over on her. She will not have it. So yeah, Daisy's like, oh, Keith is such a nice person. He really is. But you know, nice guys finish last, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then Danny and Gary are taking shots in the jacuzzi. And, you know, Daisy goes to bed, checks in on Emma and everything. And Danny's saying, like, I've been deprived of attention and Gary seems to be giving me this attention and the banter that I need. So, you know, as long as I get attention, doesn't really matter who it is. It could be just an empty vessel of a human. As long as I'm getting that attention, it works for me. That's, and then they see
fucking sad.
And they see some people jumping in the water, like down the ways. So they're like, should we do it? And so then they jump into the water and then they're swimming and then they're kissing. And looks like Danny has moved on.
Yeah. Well, that whole like nice guys finish last, you know, in reality, nice guys do not finish last. They actually finish first with giant houses and beautiful families. The people that finish last are the people that insist on being with douchebags like Gary. You guys think, oh my god, life's so exciting, and then they cheat on you and leave you, and you're in your 40s and 50s, you know, wondering why that guy was an asshole to everybody but you finally was an asshole to you. Stop choosing pieces of shit, okay? Go find yourself a nice boring man and just fuck yourself if you have to, okay? But just stop choosing shitheads. There.
Happy election day, everybody.
Happy election day. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to our episode. Thank you to the people on YouTube. We accidentally made this a public thing, but it's kind of fun. And to the people who have hung out and listened with us, it was really fun. And we enjoyed your little comments on the side there. And we'll be back tomorrow with America's show, The Real Housewives of New York. Cackling hags.
Cackling hangs. All right, everybody, we sure love you. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.